First, what we're going to do is we're going to have a short review of what we had till now. Then we're going to show, we're going to apply what we did till now to this past week's parsha in the Chumash to explain a whole set of situations that went on, and then we're going to pick up, we're going to continue from there. Rabbeinu Zal started off this Torah talking about the importance of a Yid achieving rulership over Malachim and of the potential, the fact that every Yid has such a potential, that's what he was created for. Na'aseh Odom B'tzalmenu K'dmuseinu, we explain that that's the meaning of it, to rule over Malachim. And we say that the way to avoid the jealousy of Malachim is by attaching yourself to the Kisei HaKavod, which represents the 600,000 Neshamos of Bnei Israel. The shortcut to doing that is by attaching yourself to the leaders of the generation. In order to be able to differentiate between the true leaders and those that aren't necessarily true leaders, Rabbi Nezal said the key to that is Binyan Yerushalayim, the perfecting of the Yira Shebalev. And he didn't really explain the association between those two things yet. How through Binyan Yerushalayim a person is zeichet to be able to differentiate between the real Mefursamim and Mefursamim Shel Sheker. We're going to come back to that later in the Torah. Rabbi Nezal now went off on a tangent about perfecting this concept of the Yira Shebalev, the Yira of the heart, and he said it's dependent on three things. There are three things that could adversely affect the Yira Shebalev. What are they? Taivas Mamoin, Taivas Achila, Taivas Meshagel. And these three things are referred to as the word Lev. Rabbi Nezal proved it from Psukim. These three things could harm the Lev. Then Rabbi Nezal went into quoting the Gemara, which speaks about the three divisions of night, showing how that was a hint to these three Midos Rois, Taivas Mamoin, Taivas Achila, Taivas Meshagel. And Rabbi Nezal said the key to perfecting these three Midas Rois is by keeping the three Yomim Tovim the right way. Because the three Yomim Tovim correspond to the Gimel Meichin, the three parts of the brain, which once a person has those three solid, and the Moyach is able to shine into the heart what it's supposed to, the concept of V'yodata Hayoim V'hashevoise L'vavecha, then the heart is perfect. It's the way it's supposed to be. And then Rabbi Nezal mentioned the words kruei moyed anshei shem, the terminology that's used about the group, the gang of Korach, that they were called kruei moyed anshei shem. There we see the word moyed associated with shem. And Rabbi Nezal said moyed refers to the three major holidays, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. Shem refers to these three major titles, Momoin, Achila, and Meshagel. And this was proven through Psukim. Then Rabbi Nezal went on to say that through the Binyan Yerushalayim, a person is zeicha to create the Malach that's Mashpia Nevuah into the Klei HaNevuah. The Klei HaNevuah were the Kruvim, the two Kruvim, the two images of the small children from which Nevuah came from. When a person perfects his Yira, he creates the Malach that's Mashpia into this. For now, in simplest terms, as we're going to see later, the word Malach here is synonymous with the word Shechina. The word Malach is being used synonymous with the term Shechina. And the Rabbeinu Zal proved this from a pasuk, Ki ein machzor lireyov. There's no lack of fear. The first letters of that pasuk made up the word Malach, showing that that concept of not having any lack of fear, of fear of Hashem, that's what affects this Malach, the Malach Hagoy Eloisi, who Yivorech Es HaNaorim, the one who shines into the Naorim, the Kruvin. Rabbeinu Zal warned that once a person is zeicha to what we've spoken about till now, he has to be careful for the opposite of what we're trying to get to. We're trying to get to a memshala over the malachim, a good kind of leadership. But there is a way where, in other words, here again, the satan can take a person who developed himself in all of these things, and he thinks he's on the right track, and the Sukkah misleads him just a drop. V'saratem v'avadatem l'kim acherim. By misleading him a drop, he gets him off center where he thinks he's achieved the purpose of this Torah, and he hasn't at all. Why? He's achieved a hismanus, a position of leadership. He feels a desire to lead because he has developed himself, in a sense, in Yira Shamayim, and anybody who has Yira Shamayim, Dvorov Nishmoim, etc. But he's looking for an appointeeship that doesn't belong to him, that he's not supposed to have, and Rabbeinu Zal says that can damage this nevuah, this flow of nevuah that we just mentioned. proof is that we find that there were a group of Nevi'im saying Nevuah, and when Yehoshua wanted to put a stop to it, he told Moshe Rabbeinu, Adonai Moshe, Kilo'im, Kilo'im was, put them in a leadership position, give them responsibility, and they'll disintegrate, their power of Nevuah will disintegrate. So we see that this leadership, there is a concept of a leadership that could threaten this power of Nevuah that we're talking about. And we also showed a remez in the word that he used, Kelo'im, was also the letters Malach, showing that this concept of putting leadership, putting them into a position of leadership, would stop, put an end to this Malach, that's Mashpia Nevuah, etc., etc. This is what we have till now. Hopefully nobody has any questions on this. This fits together and follows the pattern that Rabbeinu Zal established here. Number one, the group of Korach were referred to as Kruei Moed Anshei Shem. This seems to be an honorable title, that they were Kruei Moed, meaning, seeming to imply that they had perfected these three Yamim Tovim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, whereby they had perfected the Tavis Momoin, Tavis Achila, Tavis Meshagel. And Rav Nachman Shigurin Zal says the answer is most definitely yes, because the Gemara tells us that before they got sucked into this machlokes with Korach, these were very big tzaddikim. It's just that Korach, they were misled, misguided by Korach into making this wrong turn, in which they ended up being chelkem against Moshe Rabbeinu. So the fact that they're called Kruei Moed Anshei Shem is a true fact, that they were ones who had perfected their Yira and who had perfected the Gimel Yamim Tovim. They were tzaddikim, and still they were able to be misled in this way. Now we find in this week's Parsha, this past week's Parsha, Bahalischa, the Torah discusses the status of the Jews at that time. They came to Moshe Rabbeinu with a whole list of complaints. What were their complaints? Complaint number one, Mi Yachilenu Basar, who's going to give us meat? They're looking for food. They seem to have an endless drought. What was the big concern? This was a major enough issue to go to Moshe Rabbeinu. They had mon, which could have tasted like anything they wanted it to taste like. Elamai, it seems that food was a very major concern to them, possibly more than it was supposed to be. So the fact that they use this terminology, mi achilenu basar, implies a taivas achila. A taivas achila. Number one. Number two, we find that that wasn't the only point that they were stressing, because Rashi and Chumash in this past week's parasha asks a question. What in Bokor and everything, what were they asking for? And the Meforshim explained that what was their complaint. Note a little bit later, the pasuk says they continue to say to Moshe Rabbeinu, Zacharnu es hadogo asher noichal b'Mitzrayim chinam. We remember the fish that we used to eat in Mitzrayim for free. For free. The Torah says that when they used to draw water in Mitzrayim, the Yidden were given a bracha that when they would go to draw water, fish would jump into their pails. They had it so easy to be able to get food. So what was their complaint? Their problem wasn't lack of food. Their problem was lack of free food. They had a taivas mamay. Like, you have certain people, a guy has something, he doesn't want to use his own, he wants to use the other guy's. That's a taivas mamay, the chin of a taivas mamay. That was the complaint here. Number one, that's one aspect of it. The Gemara in Yuma brings on this. It underlines this word, chinam, that what was their complaint? They remember Mitzrayim when the parnosa came, the fish came to them. Now that they owned this mikneh, they didn't want to use it. They wanted to hold on to this wealth. They wanted to hold on to it as wealth rather than eat it up. They were afraid that if they'd eat it up, their wealth would decrease, their dollars would decrease. That's number one. Number two, the Gemara says in Yuma that on this pasuk there's a machlekes between Rav and Shmuel. Zocharnu es hadogo asher noichal b'Mitzrayim chinam. One says that what was their complaint? Their complaint was that free food. The other one says it had nothing to do with food. The fact that it said chinam implies aroyos. That they wanted to be matir, their complaint was aroyos. I, the kasha, then why did they say Zocharnu es hadogo? The word dogo, dogim, symbolize fruitfulness. V'yidgul aroyv bekerev horetz was a bracha for children. That was their main complaint. Their complaint was they were looking to be matir aroyos. So we see that the Yidden were in a situation, they were at a status at that point, that they had been nechshal in all three taibos rois. That was their problem. That was their complaint. And we find, as a result, another proof that they were looking for Aroyos. The Pusik says over there that as a result of all of these complaints, the Yidden was standing there, Vayishma Esa'om Beiche Lemishbechaisov. Moshe Rabbeinu heard the people crying to their families. Beiche Lemishbechaisov. So Rashi HaKadosh quotes the Gemara, which says there's two opinions on this. One says that they used to gather in groups, they used to have family meetings to discuss their complaints against Moshe Rabbeinu. The other one says, baloney, they were complaining about the issue of families that Moshe Rabbeinu had taught them, that Moshe Rabbeinu had forbade them to have physical relations within family, to marry a sister, all of these things, that was their complaint. So we see again that they were nechshal in Taivas Noshim, in this Taivas Mishagel. What came as a result of this? The Medrash says in Eicha, Shtei b'chiyos b'chu Yisrael. The Yidden cried two times, two outstanding times. One was this, Vayishma Esa'om b'icha l'mishpachosov. The second one was when the Meraglim came back. When the Meraglim came back with their bad report, there again the Pasuk says that the people were crying over this. So the Medrash says, what was the punishment for this? They were punished that they were given two cryings. What were the two cryings? Koil Baroma Nishma Bielola, Koil Bechi Tamrurim, Rochel Mevake Alboneho, the crying over the Churban Beis Hamikdash, and also Al Naharo Isbovel, Shom Yoshavnu Gambochino, Bezochreinu Estziain, the crying over the Churban Yerushalayim. We just said that a person who's misaking all of these things is Zeche to Binyan Yerushalayim, to build up the Yerushalayim. What's the penalty for being Poygem in this? The Boichel Mishbechosa, the crying over the Taivas Achila, the Taivas Momo, the Taivas Noshim. The penalty was the Churban Yerushalayim, as we see from this Medrash. What did Hashem say? What was going to be? What happened immediately afterwards, following in the Chumash? The Pasuk says, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Esfoli Shivim Ish Mizikne Yisrael. Gather together 70 Jews. We're going to shine the light of Hashem upon 70 Jews. And the Gemara Darshan's, why 70? Hashem wanted to draw the power of Yantif onto the Jews, the light of the Yamim Tovim. The Yamim Tovim are represented by the number 70. How? We have the 52. We know that where does Yantif draw its Kedusha from? From Shabbos. Yantif is called Shabbos Shabboson. The word Shabbos is used by Yantif also. That Shabbos is the one that shines into the Yamim Tovim. We have 52 Shabbosim in the year. We have 7 days of Pesach. We have 8 days of Sukkot. That's 52, 8 and 7 is how much? Is 67. We're missing three more. Rosh Hashanah is one. Yom Arichta, Rosh Hashanah is called one long day. Yom Kippur is a second day. Shavuos is a third day. That makes up the 70 days of Yantif. And this, the Gemara says, that when Hashem said, Esfoli Shivmish, He wanted to draw upon them the Kiddush of the Yamim Tovim. We see that that was going to be the ticken for all of these problems. Where does Shabbos come into the picture? Where does Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur come into the picture? Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur we're going to have soon. At the end of this Torah, Rabbi Nizal is going to talk about how Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are plugged into this. Shabbos? Shabbos is the mokar for the Kiddush of Yantif. Where do we learn out how to keep the Yamim Tovim from? Whatever is Osranj, Ein Ben Shabbos LeYantif, Elo Eichel Nefesh Bulvad. There's a minute difference between Shabbos and Yantif. That's why the 52 Shabbosim are included into this category also. However, we see that Hashem was hinting to them that there was a pigam. Because Hashem said, I'm not going to make these people into Nevi'im. I'm going to take a drop of the power of Moshe Rabbeinu and I'm going to place it upon them. Showing this lets us know that there was a pigam here, there was a problem here. They weren't worthy of becoming Nevi'im on their own. And this is why the Pasuk continues to say, Vayisnabu velo yosofu. There are two interpretations. Rashi's interpretation is, Vayisnabu velo yosofu. They said Nevuah, and they couldn't continue. They were only able to be Nevi'im for one day, and then the Nevuah stopped. Why? This symbolized that the Nevuah had been harmed, based on the fact that they had this Taivas Achila, Taivas Noshim, and Taivas Momin that they said before, they could not achieve a Shleimus in this Nevuah. Although the Tikkun was going to come about through a Nevuah, but it was going to show that the Nevuah, if the Nevuah, B'Shleimus, these 70 could have been Nevi'im eternally. They could have been solid Nevi'im. It shows us that they couldn't. That's one interpretation of the Taich of Vayisnabu V'lo Yosofu. Another interpretation is Vayisnabu V'lo Yosofu. They said Nevuah, but they couldn't get it through themselves alone. alone. They only got their, they were only able to say Nevuah based on the being plugged into Moshe Rabbeinu. As long as they were plugged into him, they were able to be Nevi'im. The minute the plug was pulled out, their Nevuah stopped. Again, showing a lack of shlemus in the Nevuah, as Rav Nachman Shigrinzal explains. So we find immediately afterwards what happened was two of the Nevi'im seemed to stay in longer, and again, they began to say things that it seemed they weren't supposed to. They weren't supposed to reveal to the Jews at that time that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to die, that Moshe Rabbeinu was not going to be the one to bring the Yidden to Eretz Yisrael. Again, a pigam in the Nevuah. And that was when Yehoshua came to Moshe Rabbeinu and he said, Adaini Moshe Kilo'im. He said, Moshe Rabbeinu, please destroy them. All of this is actually the whole flow of our Torah to this point. And we find that what did Moshe Rabbeinu say at the end? Hamekane atoli. The whole complaint was, in other words, Rabbeinu says in the beginning of this Torah that you have to watch out for the kinas hamalochim. Moshe Rabbeinu said to Yeshua, what are you, jealous? You're the one who's speaking up for jealous. In other words, you're jealous that they're going to be Nevi'im also? There's a problem, Hashem, that there isn't enough Nevuah to go around in the world? That's the problem? We see again that there was a pigam, there was the wrong kind. Moshe Rabbeinu was proclaiming that there was a problem in the kina, the wrong kind of kina there. Because all of these things were pogum, there was this wrong type of kina that was being shira on the whole situation. Rav Nachman Shigrinzal quotes one other medrash, he says, where we see again how this medrash sort of puts an umbrella on everything we had till now. There's a medrash that said that there were three individuals that made very similar statements. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu, and David HaMelech. Hashem said, Mi yitain v'hoyo levavam elecho liyira. Hashem said, what would I give if the Jews could be zeiche to put their hearts with you, Moshe Rabbeinu, to have the proper fear of Hashem? Note, Mi yitain v'hoyo levavam elecho liyira oisi ulahav oisi liyira. The first thing that's mentioned there is yira. That's what Hashem stressed. The Medrash says, what did Moshe Rabbeinu say? Moshe Rabbeinu said to Yehoshua, when Yehoshua was saying, Moshe Rabbeinu, put a stop to this, they're saying Nevuah. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Mi yitain v'hoyo kol am Hashem Nevi'im. What would I give if the whole Jewish nation could become Nevi'im? What do you think, I don't forgive them? I wish all the Yidden would become Nevi'im. Note again, this same words, Mi yitain v'hoyo, if only it could be. Hashem spoke about the Yira, Moshe Rabbeinu spoke about the Nevuah. What did David HaMelech say? Mi yitain mi tzion yeshuas Yisrael. If only we could be zeichet to see the rebuilding of Tzion. Tzion is the city of Yerushalayim. We see in this medrash how these three things are tied together. The shlemos hayira, the nevuah, the binyan Yerushalayim. These three things are associated together. And again, this is the function of the Meforshim on the Likutei Moran. They show you how what Rabbeinu Zal said is true. Rabbeinu Zal said any one of these chapters on Likutei Moran could be used as a pirush on the entire Torah. Ones who are as knowledgeable as they are, familiar with these Midrashim Gemaras throughout Shas, are able to show us little examples. They can't write out the whole thing for you, but they give you little examples, little hints. You should know that the more you're going to learn, the more you're going to be able to understand the depth, the incredible depth of the Gemara Torah. Period. Hold it over here for now. Now we're going to continue where we left off. So we had a review of everything we had till now. Now Rabbeinu Zal continues within this same culture, within this same lecture. Rabbeinu Zal, we're up to paragraph Ches. Rabbeinu Zal says, "Val yedei hashpoas hanavuah, ach shemashpia nevuah leklei hanavuah." There's created a malach who shines nevuah into the klei hanavuah. Why doesn't he say there's created a malach that gives nevuah? He seems to be saying that this is less of a tain. It was like there's a sprinkling of nevuah somewhere in the air. If there's a sprinkling, that doesn't seem to be good enough. I don't want a sprinkling. I want it to be handed directly, put into a pocket, that kind of thing. Is it that Rabbeinu Zal isn't being specific, or what? The answer is Rabbeinu Zal here is going to explain what he meant. Vayidei hashpoas hanavuah, through this hashpo of nevuah, which is generated by a person having the binyan Yerushalayim, this shlemos hayira shebelev, through that, af al pi she'ein mi she'yisnabe. Even if there's no individual that's worthy of actually becoming a Navi at the time, like let's say in 1983 in our generation, where it's very, very difficult for there to be an actual Navi, not because there are no tzaddikim, but because the generation isn't worthy of having an obvious Navi available to us, Rak sheyesh bechinas hashpoas hanavua ba'olam. However, there are people who are developing themselves, trying to perfect themselves in this binyan Yerushalayim, which leads to this hashpoas hanavua. So what happens? There's a hashpoas hanavua, but there's no navi. How does the hashpoas hanavua manifest itself? There is another direction that this nevuah can affect. Rabbi Nezal says, "Aydeze negeles v'niftis hatfila." This causes a redemption of the tefila. The tefila is redeemed. We're going to see soon what that means. Rabbi Nezal says, "Ki hatfila hi gavoya ma'od." Tefila is a very, very high level item. Ubnei Adam mezalzalin bo. Unfortunately, many, many people take it lightly. They don't give it the importance that it's supposed to be. Meaning that the tefila, in a sense, is in exile. It's like a prince sent into exile, where when he's in his palace, he's in his full glory. When he's sent into exile, he's still a prince, but he doesn't look it anymore. The fact that he's been exiled from the throne, it looks like he's dropped in level, dropped in significance. So the terminology that's used is golus hatfila. When the tefila is downtrodden, there's a bechin of golus hatfila. And when people stand up to daven to Hashem, unfortunately, chafetzim lifter hatfila me'aleihem. It's like they can't wait to get rid of the tefila. They can't wait to get finished davening. People are in a rush to finish davening, get out of shul, chas v'shalom, or finish davening on their own, any private tefila to Hashem. Kemay marazal, as the Gemara says clearly in Brachas, the Gemara quotes a pasuk which says, kirum zulus levnei adam. And the Gemara darshins, kirum, there is a certain item that's rum, it's very, very high level, but zulus, people are mezalzel it, they cheapen it. The Gemara darshins, elu dvorim ha'im. This refers to items that stand on the highest plateau of the world. And there are people that take it lightly. They don't give it the significance that they should. And Rashi says, what is that specifically? Tefillah. This refers to tefillah. Validei ha-nevuah, and through nevuah, negeles ha-tefillah min ha-golus. Through this hashpoas hanavuah, the fact that there's no actual navi to draw this hashpoas hanavuah, the manner in which it manifests itself is the tefillah being taken out of golus. Bebechinas. Now the question is, where do we see an association between nevuah and tefillah? You'll note there is a pasuk where Hashem told Avimelech, "Go ask Avraham Avinu to daven for you." Why? Ki navi hu, because he's a navi, v'yispalil badcho, and he'll daven for you. We see Hashem was implying that there is an association. The fact that he's a navi is what's going to make his tefillah special. Go to him, he's a navi, he'll daven for you. Rabbi Nezal says, shal yedei nevuah hatfila b'shleimus. Through nevuah, that's when the tefillah achieves shleimus. Ki hatefillah hi bechinas boirei nivsosoyim. Tefillah is referred to in a pasuk in Yeshaya that Hashem creates the power of speech, the movement of the lips. Niv refers to movement. Note niv is like the word nevuah. Boirei nivsosoyim. This word that's used to refer to tefillah is also used to refer to nevuah. Bechinas nevuah. Now the question is again, could we clarify, does anybody here understand this really clearly? What does he mean, nevuah tefillah? What exactly, touch that, can you touch it? Here again, we have to come on to the Tzadikim Amitiyim, the later Talmidim of Rabbeinu Zal, Rabbi Nachman Shigurin Zal, who obviously understood that this isn't clear to the normal layman, and he explains this a little bit clearer. We'll read his explanation on these words. Rav Nachman Shigurin Zal says, Nira Laniyaz Daiti, it appears to me, the Ratzal Leimer, that what Rabbeinu Zal means to say here, Ki Shleimus Kavonas Hatfilo, when a person achieves Shleimus in having Kavona in Tfilo, Hainu, that means, Lechavein Liboy Lashamayim, to be able to concentrate, to merge his heart with Hashem when he davens, to be able to really concentrate, v'lishpoich es nafshoi lefnei Hashem Yisborach, and to be able to pour out his soul before Hashem, k'medaber imoi ponim b'ponim, as though he were talking to a close friend that he was actually looking at. That, in other words, to be able to daven with that kind of kavona, where just like if you were talking to somebody sitting across the table from you, you wouldn't forget where you're up to in the middle of talking. That's a very rare item. You have people who daven, and they forget where they're up to. Imagine the Shulchan Aruch has to list a shaila. What if a person's in Kriya Shema and he's saying Uchsavtam Amuzos, he doesn't remember, is he up to the first Uchsavtam? What do you mean he doesn't remember? He's saying Kriya Shema. What is he, off the wall? The answer is, the Chachamim knew that there exists such a problem in Tefillah. Because Tefillah is so high level an item, the Satan attacks it. And he makes a person not able to concentrate. He subtracts the Nevuah from the Tefillah. Why? What is Nevuah? Nevuah is that Hashem spoke to a person face to face. Reb Nachman Shigurinzal explains here that when a person is zeichet to daven with such kavana, as though he was speaking to Hashem face to face, Reb Nachman Shigurinzal says, "V'zois ha'heora v'ha'esnoitet zuselakush shebeliboy." This feeling, this spiritual feeling that's aroused in the person's heart, ke'ilu roya oisa yisborach, that it's as though he sees Hashem, u'meisiach lefonav eskol Hashem levovoy, and he's speaking to Hashem, whatever is on his heart, zeh bechinas ruach hanavua mamish. That's considered a concept of Ruach Nevuah. Ruach Nevuah is not a one-way thing. It's not simply something from Hashem to the person. When a person develops such a level of kavanah and tefillah, where he's davening so well that it's as though he feels so aroused, he's got such faith, such confidence in the fact that Hashem is right across him, listening to every word he's saying, and he's speaking to Hashem face to face, that's also classified as a Ha'oras HaNevuah. And he proves it. There's a Gemara to prove this. V'zeh Shomer Hazal, this is what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that there was a tremendous tzaddik who was fabulous in tefillah. What was his name? Rabbi Hanina ben Daisa. The Gemara says that whenever a person used to come to him and ask him to daven for them, he used to be able to tell you on the spot whether the person would be cured or not, whether the person was going to live or die. So the Gemara says, they asked him, are you a Navi? Is this a prophecy? That was their question. He said, no, it's not really Nevuah. What is it? When I feel that my tefillah is shigura b'fi, when I feel that the tefillah is going with real, pure kavona, then I know that the tefillah was accepted, and that the person is going to live, or whatever. When the tefillah is not with real kavanah the way I would want it to be, I know that Hashem is showing me that my tefillah is not accepted. What was he saying? That you're right, you hit the nail on the head. Am I a Navi? The answer is yes and no. Not the clear term Navi as you know it, but another aspect of Nevuah. It's this reflection of this Hashpoas HaNevuah. When it affects tefillah, this is the manner in which it manifests itself. That you can have a tzaddik who, based on his kavona in tefillah, that serves as a koyach hanavua to him. He's able to tell the future based on the level of kavona that he has in tefillah. So we see that this concept of being able to perfect your kavona in tefillah, that's referred to as a concept of nevuah, achieving a level of nevuah.
But you over here that even a tzaddik at times, it would be hard for him to daven.
Of course, no question. That tefillah is milchama. It's a very difficult item.
Yeah, but it's also said there's a hashpoas hanavua.
Right.
When a person reaches this, it says it comes down. So does it come down just for that person?
Exactly. For that person, for that period of time. That time when he feels aroused to this additional kavana, where is that ha'ora coming from? That's it. What is Nevuah? That Hashem shined into a person a power to see Hashem. When a person is davening with Kavona, where does that Kavona come? It's coming from Hashem. It's a power of Hashem that's being shined into the person, that's allowing the person to daven with such an emes, with such an emuna. That power is also referred to as a Bechinas Nevuah. That's this concept of the Nevuah being Goyel the Tefillah.
It says like Nigelus had tefillah.
Exactly.
It seems to imply like in the world it feels in Golas. But it, as you're saying,
100%.
It's like it's Nigel for that person, or each, the world
is each person considered a world.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, definitely. That's your answer. That this item could apply to each individual person on one level, and it could apply to the Klal Yisrael as a whole. Kriyas Yamsuf. Oz Yoshir Moshe Bnei Yisrael as Hashira. Shira is Tefillah. They achieved a fantastic level of Tefillah. What was the result? We see the direct association between these two, between the Tefillah and the Nevuah. That these two are very much associated. This Bayre Nivs Fosoyim. The Gemara over there by Rabbi Hanina ben Daisa, the Gemara quotes this Pasuk. Rabbi Hanina ben Daisa said to it, excuse me, as the Pasuk says, Bayre Nivs Fosoyim. So we see there's an association between Tefillah and Nevuah. That Tefillah could be used as a form of Nevuah. Of course, on multiple levels. To each person, this applies, excuse me, on his own level.
So, He puts his head between his legs. Because the legs are
the top. Excellent. Correct. The Gemara over there points out that how did he used to daven? He put his head between his legs. The legs are Netzach and Hod, which are the clay and the Nevuah. Interesting. You see, there's things to be learned. Who else wants to say something?
Was it depending on getting his Nevuah? Is it dependent on a gift from Shemayim or a person's own efforts? Both.
It involves a physical effort to block out everything else from your mind, number one. At the same time, this item can be achieved through tefillah. A person has to ask Hashem to allow him to be zeicha to daven with kavana, to help him be zeicha to daven with kavana. It's a melchama, it's a battle. You're going against a malach. You're trying to daven the right way. There's a malach trying to put all kinds of thoughts into your mind. Who's in control of that malach? Hashem. Daddy, please take care of him. He's bothering me. He's nagging me. He's harassing me.
You see, by like a simple child who davens, he doesn't have his heart to pitch, you know, to daven like they daven. It's like piping daven to Hashem.
Right.
See, it's like very...
It's very pure. The same. The answer is again, because this test is possibly easier, or because... Exactly.
So there were lion on the kelim of Nevuah.
Right.
It says, Sheker in Larag Lion.
Right.
Is it possible to have a false Nevuah?
Definitely. Definitely. Not be sheker, unless we have that concept. Or we have, I'll give you an example, you know, it's an example of a false Nevuah, in a sense, Korach. The Torah says, what made this lunatic go out and start attacking Moshe Rabbeinu? The Torah says he saw a vision, he saw that big tzaddikim were going to be coming to him, Shmuel HaNavi, who was considered as big as Moshe Rabbeinu, everything would have been lovely. He decided not to, he got burned. That's a concept of a false Nevuah, where he saw a picture that he was, how big a tzaddik he was, that he was zeicha to see this, he was zeicha to see that they would come from the Meshua. But yet it was a type of false Nevuah. He couldn't see clearly enough. He couldn't see in a manner that would benefit him. He saw it in a manner that did. He would have been better off if he didn't see that. Right? That led him to make the mistake.
Is there any way to know whether you're having a false Nevuah?
Ha ha ha. It's totally in sincerity. That's part of what we said on Shabbos. That these things, although the person has to know that even in coming close to the Kiddusha, these something works to mislead a person. And according to how honest a person is with himself, in not saying, in other words, a person starts davening, he does mitzvahs for like 3-4 days, and he thinks already he's become a big tzaddik. So that if he sees, let's say, the pimples of the wall seem to take on a certain shape for that second, suddenly he thinks that he's seeing a vision, and he can interpret the pimple, you know, certain upside down things. A person has to be very, very slow in being masmich himself, in other words, in anointing himself as a Navi, or all of those kind of things. That's a tremendous, I'm saying this seriously, that's a tremendous danger for Bali Chulu or people, Bechal, Kamikla. I see it with people, you know, talking to people. People have an age like they learn 2-3 things and already they're ready to give interpretations on the mysteries of the Talmud, you know, all kinds of nonsense, which a person has to learn for years and years and daven for years and years, and then first be told by somebody who's far superior to him whether he's worthy or not, you know, for this kind of thing. Well, let's continue. Okay, now Rabbi Nizal says, so now already this Nevuah is not foreign to us. Oh, until now we heard the word Nevuah, we said, okay, fine, you know, someday when Avim come back, this topic will apply to us. Now Rabbi Nizal showed us how this thing of Nevuah is swinging in, it's right now a ballpark. It affects each and every one of us in tefillah on a daily basis. Now Rabbi Nizal says, "Ukishenegeles v'niftis hatfilah." When the tefillah is redeemed, it's taken out of its exile. Meaning, exile, it's been lowered in status. when the tefillah is restored to its proper status, berumay shalaylam, way, way, way on top, it's being given its proper respect, the proper kavona, people are showing the proper hachona for tefillah and the proper desire, not looking to get rid of it, but looking to hold on to every word as a precious diamond. Azai noifel kol hadoktoraya. Then the whole concept of medicine and doctors goes out the window. It falls. Why? Ki ein tzrichen l'refuos. Because when the tefillah is bishleimus, there is no need whatsoever for medicines. Why? Rabbi Nizal is going to explain the whole concept of medicine. Rabbi Nizal says, ki kol harefuos heim al yidei asabim. Basically, most medications that doctors use or people in medical profession come from different herbs, different combinations of herbs and grasses. V'chol esev esev makabel koyach mikoychov u'mazol hamiyuchadloi. K'may shom razal. We know that every single blade of grass draws its power, its nourishment, its chiyus from a star or a constellation of stars that's designated to be associated with that specific blade of grass. As the Medrash says in Medrash Rabbah, Ein lecha kol esev ve'esev she'ein lo'i koyach u'mazel she'maka esev v'omer lo'i gadel. That there isn't a single blade of grass in the world that doesn't have a star or group of stars associated, assigned to it, that strike it and tell it to grow. And it only grows upon being struck by these stars, these powers that are over it. The chol koychav u'mazol, and where do these stars or constellations of stars draw their power from? Mekabel koyach mikoychavim shalamala mimenu. These stars draw their power from the stars that are above them. There are multiple levels within the stars. Each star draws from the level above it. V'ho elyoin meho elyon mimenu. And the one that's above draws from the one above it. Ad shemekablim koyach mehasorim ho elyoinim. Until it gets to a point where the highest level stars, they draw their power from malochim, from actual malochim in heaven. K'may shekosav, as the Tikkun Zohar says very clearly, kol choychvayo lovin do min do. Each one of the stars borrow one from the other, meaning they receive one from the other. Each one, the lower level stars, have to receive their shefa, their chiyus, from the upper level stars. There's a chain of command. Hashem doles out shefa to the uppermost ones. They're the ones who give it to the next, and the next to the next, and so on and so forth, until it spirals down and affects the blades of grass within this world. V'hem kulam b'chi... One second. Kol chachvayah lov and dom and dor. Si haro lovi min shimsha. The Zohar HaKadosh says the moon draws its nourishment from the sun, and so on and so forth. The Tikkun Zohar goes on to elaborate on this. Ki govoya me'al govoya. Because, and the Tikkun Zohar quotes a pasuk. There's a pasuk that says higher from above higher, showing that the govoya draws from a gavoya mimenu. The one who's on a higher level draws from the level above it. In other words, there is this concept of chain of command in receiving shefa from Hashem. Ve'hem kulam bechinas lovin zemizeh. Each one is considered, in a sense, a borrower, where he draws, just like a borrower receives from a lender, so too these lower level kalim receive from upper level kalim. V'zem izem, one from another. Ad shemekablim v'lovim mehasorim holyonim, until it reaches up to levels of malochim, where they draw from the malochim. The physical world, these balls in the sky, which are the closest thing to the next world, the Olam Hayitzira, which is the Malachim. And thus, when we get to the uppermost point within the Olam HaAsiyah, where does that draw from? From the lowest point in the Olam HaYetzirah, which is already Malachim. And those Malachim draw from the Malachim above them, and so on and so forth, until we get to the highest level Malachim. These sorim, the heavenly sorim, they draw from the ones above them. Ad until ad shekula mekabla mishayrish hakoil, until all of these malachim and all of these koychavim, what's the origin that they all draw from? Which is shehu devar Hashem. They all draw from the devar Hashem. That's what nourishes the highest level malachim. K'may shekosav, as the pasuk says clearly in Tehillim, bidvar Hashem shomayim nasu uberuach piv kol tzevaom. How was Shomayim created? How are the Tzava'am? What is Tzava'am? The armies of heaven. What created them? What nourishes them? Bidvar Hashem. The Devar Hashem is what created them originally, and that's what sustains them. V'alkein, and therefore now let's take a step back and look at this. V'alkein, and therefore, kishe zeichem letfilah, when a person is zeichem through this nevuah that we spoke about before, through the shleimus hayira, which leads to this hashpul of nevuah, into the tefillah, meaning through real davening with super kavonah, oz ein tzrichem l'refuas ha'asabim. Now, such a person no longer has to come on to the medicinal effect of these grasses. Why? Ki ha'tfilah hi bechinas devar Hashem. Tefillah is a concept of the devar Hashem. Ki novi hu v'yispalel badcha. Tefillah is a concept of the devar Hashem coming from a person's mouth. Shehu sheresh ha'koel. That's the origin of everything. So that if a person gets sick, rather than go out to the store and pay $12 for this tube of medicine, which came from these blades of grasses, he has a potential. If he's zeichet to shleimus hatfilah, he can skip three levels. He can skip the grass, the koychavim, the malachim, and go up to the Dvar Hashem, from which the malachim draw, from which the koychavim draw, from which the grass draws. That's if he's zeichet to this shleimus of the Dvar Hashem. This is why the minog in Klal Yisrael, when a person gets sick or a person has any major problem, they go to tzaddikim and ask them to be mispoil for them, because we believe that these tzaddikim are the ones who are zeichet to this Dvar Hashem. They're the ones who are zeichet to daven with this kind of purity. It has this hashpoas hanavua in it, so that they can help us to be able to do away with the doctors and away with the medicines and everything, and be able to draw the chiyus direct from the Dvar Hashem. Period.
What does that word mean? Dvar Hashem is translation.
The word of Hashem. There are many aspects of that. Nevuah is a form of the Dvar Hashem. Tefillah is a form of the Dvar Hashem. I'll prove it to you. How do you start off Shemoneh Esrei? We say, Hashem, sefosai tiftoch. Hashem, please, you, open up my lips. Ufi yagit ilosecha. And allow my mouth to speak your praises. What are you implying there? That where are your words going to be coming from? From Hashem. You're asking Hashem, Psach picho leilim, Hashem, please shine words into me. Give me words to be able to speak to you. That's what it is. The whole concept of making from Torah tefillah, where did the Torah come from? The Torah is the Devar Hashem. You understand? Okay. Rabbi Nizal says now, Vezeh bechinas novi. This is all hinted to in the actual word Navi. The word Navi itself. Rosh Tevois, the word Navi makes up the first letters of this pasuk. Bidvar Hashem Shomayim Nasu. Why? Note, the words Bidvar Hashem Shomayim Nasu, the first letters are Nun, Beis, Yud, and instead of an Aleph, there's that word Shomayim. Rabbi Nizal is going to explain now. Ki ho Aleph hu Rokia hamavdil bein mayim lomoyim. This is a deep concept in Kabbalah. The Tikkun Ezer says that the letter Aleph represents the Shomayim, the Rokia. Now there's a little footnote on the side here that says Pirish. Therefore, the alkein, therefore, tevas shomayim, the word shomayim, shehi b'mokoyim ho'alef, shebetevas novi, that takes the place, sort of the aleph, of the word novi, ki ho'alef, hi rokia hanal. The letter aleph represents the rokia. The Tikkun Ezer shows how the vav, in middle of the aleph, and the two yuds on top, that represents the shomayim, the vav is the shomayim, the two yuds are the mayim ho'elyonim, and the mayim ha'tachtonim, which the shomayim was used to split, that was to divide. So we see that the letter Aleph represents this concept of the Shamayim. Therefore, in this pasuk, the first letter is Bidvar Hashem, Nasu. You have the Nun Beis Yud. The next word, the other word, Shamayim, is as though they were written an Aleph there. So we see that this word, Bidvar Hashem Shamayim Nasu, is hinting to this concept of Novi, meaning through nevuah, a person is zeicha to make his tefillah, what we just said, where he gets the words direct from Hashem himself, where his tefillah is this concept of Dvar Hashem, period. Rabbi Nizal says, v'zeh b'chinas, note, this is, we're going to see this clearly explained in a pasuk in Tehillim. David HaMelech says, Yishlach devoroi v'yirpo'im, Hashem sends his word, and he cures them, v'malet mishchisaisam, and he rescues them, mishchisaisam, from destruction, from devastation. Rabbi Nizal explains now, the word mashchis means destruction, the word shachas means grass, blades of grass, herbs. Rabbi Nizal says, Yishlach devorai v'yirpoim, Hashem sends his word and cures them. Hainu shemekablim kol harefuais rak al yedei dvar Hashem. This refers to a person who receives his v'yirpoim from the devorai, from the dvar Hashem. He receives his refuah from the dvar Hashem. The hainu tefillah. Azai, and then v'yemaleit, he is spared from mishchisoisam, hainu asavim. The word shachas refers to grasses. Bechinas, as the Gemara says, hakoitzer la'shachas, a person who's cutting the grass. So we see shachas is grass. Ki ein tzrichin l'refuas ha'asavim. A person who is zeichet to this level of yishlach devaroi v'yirpoin, that he's zeichet to the devar Hashem, v'yemaleit, that spares him mishchisoisam from having to come onto these grasses, these herbs, these medicines. He's able to draw the refuah from by bypassing these other levels, going direct to the Dvar Hashem. Period. Rabbi Nizal says, v'ze bechinas. By the way, this pasuk yishlach devaroi v'yirpoin, when we get to Torah Ches, when we get to Torah, when we start talking about the, in other words, actually, when we talk about cure, what's the highest tefillah for curing a sick person? No, that's one very high level. Tikkun HaKol. Shira Shirim is a form of Tikkun HaKol. Tikkun HaKol is Shira. It's the Asar. In other words, definitely higher than Shira Shirim is the Tikkun HaKol, unquestionably. And this, we're gonna when we start talking, when we get to the Torah. Torah Ches Nekudim and other Torahs, where we talk about Tikkun HaKol, we're going to show you things that you're not aware of in the incredible depth in Tikkun HaKol.
So then, if
a
person is somebody in their family, something close to them is
right.
Very sick, would you think to pull out Tikkun HaKol right there and then?
Definitely. That should be one of the first things. No question. The saying of Tikkun HaKol, why? Excuse me?
He does not think himself to be fair to the person.
100 million percent. And you say before I'm saying this, these type of people help bring about a refuah for this person. No question. Why? You'll note this just for starters. I'll throw out a hint, and this could be exploded into billions of miles. This pasuk Yishlach devaroi v'yirpoim is being marames to this power of tefillah which cures people. The Gemara says that basically there are 10 types of sicknesses. There are 10 types of sicknesses in the human body which can be detected. The Tikkun Ezra says, by the 10 types of pulse. The Tikkun Ezra says people in the olden days used to be able to tell what problem a person had in his body by being able to feel the pulse. Why? Because basically there are 10 types of sicknesses which correspond to the 10 different pulses. So a person who's knowledgeable in the 10 pulses can be able to tell by the feel of the pulse exactly which part of the body is sick and based on what type of situation. Corresponding to that, David HaMelech prepared a sefer of tefillah, the highest level tefillah conceivable, the sefer Tehillim, which he composed using 10 types of negina, 10 types of song. And we know negina is the highest level of kiddushah that exists. Al pi Kabbalah, there's no question at all that not necessarily coming on to Kabbalah. The Torah has four levels to it. Ta'amim, nekudais, tagin, and oisiyos. There's the letters of the Torah. There's the crowns on the letters. There's the vowels under the letters. And there's the ta'amim, the trup. And the trup is definitely the highest level of the Torah, unquestionably. The trup, the musical notes, that's the highest level. That's dveikus. There's a lot of reasons why. It's not our topic for now, so I'm not going to go into it. But there is a remez in this pasuk, Yishlach devaroi v'yirpoim, Hashem sends his word and cures them. The first letters of this pasuk are Yud Vav Dalet. Yud, referring to the 10 chapters of Tehillim, the 10 chapters of Tikkun HaKol, which correspond to these 10 pulses, which correspond to the 10 types of sicknesses, which correspond to the 10 types of negina. That's what affects a tremendous tikkun for any kind of sickness. And again, we're going to have much, much, much more depth on this when we get into this topic of Tikkun HaKol itself.
Too much material,
no, just that. He shall dwell in poem. That is, he should know by me, ever since I heard that item on Friday afternoon, whenever we say Haidu, this item specifically stands out tremendously. When we say he shall dwell in poem, what am I referring to? I'm referring to the saying of Tikkun HaKali, that we should be zeicha through the saying of Tikkun HaKali, these 10 chapters, the Sefer Tehillim in general, which has in it these 10 types of Negina, and especially these 10 chapters, which Rabbeinu Zal said, these actually represent the 10 types of Negina in the most outstanding way. We should be zeicha to draw any kind of refuah that we need, beruchnius and begashmius. It's understood which person is more sick, a person who has a toothache or a headache, or a person who's sick that he can't learn, he can't daven, he can't serve Hashem well. So any kind of refuah comes from these 10 types of Negina. Let's go. I don't want to get too much sidetracked on this. Rabbi Nezal says, "Vizeh." We'll just learn another couple of minutes. "Vizehu bechinas." This is what the pasuk means when Hashem promised Bnei Israel when they went out of Mitzrayim. Note, they went out of Mitzrayim. 10 plagues in Mitzrayim. That's what knocked out the Mitzrayim. After the 10 makos and after the Aseres Hadibros, right after the Aseres Hadibros, the pasuk says that Hashem said to the Jews, "If you'll be good, v'hazan tol mitzvos, if you listen to the mitzvos of Hashem, v'shamartes kol chukov, etc., etc., v'avadetem es Hashem aleikechem, and you will serve Hashem properly, uveirach eslach mecho v'esmimecho, Hashem will bless your bread and your water, v'haseroisi machlo mikerbecho, and Hashem will remove all sicknesses from you." Rabbi Nezal explains, "Va'avadetem es Hashem eleikechem." When the pasuk says "Va'avadetem es Hashem," the word "avado," what does that refer to?
Tefillah.
How do we know? The Gemara says, The Gemara says in Tainus on the pasuk "Ula avdoi b'chol levavchem." The Gemara says, "Ezehu avado shebelev heviyamer zu tefillah." Note the Mishnah in Perkei Avos: "Al gimel dvorim ha'olam ha'medes al ha'toira va'al ha'avado va'al gmilas chasodim." What does avado refer to there? Tefillah. No question. So when the pasuk says "Va'avadetem es Hashem alikechem," that refers to tefillah, zu tefillah. Azai then uberach eslach mecho v'esmimecho, Hashem will bless your bread and water, v'asiroisi machlo, and he'll remove your sickness. What does this mean? What is the pasuk trying to bring out? Hainu, Hashem is telling us, sheyilcho refuah al yidei lechem u'mayim. Once a person is zeichet to the power of tefillah, he doesn't have to come on to daimatap and all of these shmegegi names. He'll be able to draw his refuah through bread and water. Al yidei sheyizborchu min sheirish hakoil, through the fact that his bread and water will be blessed by the origin, the makor habrocha, which is what? The haino al yidei dvar Hashem. This refers to the dvar Hashem, bechinas tefillah. V'yiyeh lelechem umayim koyach lerapois kemoya sabim. Then, such a person, his bread and water will be able to cure him just as well as medication. Why? Rabbi Nezal explains. Ki hischalkus hakoyach, the division of power. Meaning, shezeho esev yeshloi koyach l'rapo yischilas ploini. The fact that this specific herb has the power to cure this specific sickness. V'zeh choylas ploini. And this specific herb, this specific medication has the power to affect this kind of illness. That's only kol chiluke koychosam hurakl ukiyetzibuze, and similar to this, kol chiluke koychosam huraklamato. This whole division of the power of Hashem, which manifests itself in a differentiation, where this specific medicine is geared for this specific type of illness, and it cannot service another illness. Whereas this medication is good for this illness, and it can't service. This is good for too much salt. This is good for too little salt. This is good for arthritis. This is good for speeding up the metabolism. This is good for slowing down the metabolism. That whole concept is only below, only on earth. Avol amala, but up in heaven, b'sheirish hakoil, in the origin of everything, dahinu dvar Hashem, by the actual dvar Hashem, hakoil echod. There, everything is one. There's no concept of differentiation. There's no concept of shinui. Ve'ein chiluk bein lechem umayim ubein asabim. There's no distinction between bread and water or medications. It all draws from this basic Dvar Hashem. When this Dvar Hashem spirals down to earth, it manifests its potency differently in how it affects bread and water, how it affects grass, this type of grass, that type of grass, etc. But If a person is zeicha to grab onto the origin, he skips all of these intermediary stages. He grabs onto the sheirish. Dayu dvar Hashem b'chinas tefila. He latches onto the dvar Hashem through tefila. Yechaylin lahamshich koychois harifu alateich lechem umayim. Such a person can draw the medicinal power into his bread and water. And he can be zeicha to draw a refuah through bread and water. Bechinas, as the pasuk says, clearly. Note, this isn't Rabbi Nizal's not inventing something new. Rabbi Nizal's taking this from the Chumash, as the pasuk says, "Uberach eslach mecha v'esmeinecha." Hashem will bless your bread and water. In what will be the blessing? Ba'aseroisi kol machlo mikirbecha. That the bread and water will be able to remove the illness. You won't have to come onto these strange, expensive medications. A person who's zeicha to be Isaac in tefillah could achieve a level where Hashem shines into his bread and water that same thing that gets shined on a lower level into these fancy kinds of medications that have to be prepared through all kinds of difficult means, etc., etc. Note, on a simple level, the Gemara in Bava Metzia says very clearly that this pasuk, what does this pasuk refer to? The Gemara says you should know that there are 83 types of sicknesses, not categories of sicknesses. There are 83 types of sicknesses. Bigematria, the word machlo. The word machlo is bigematria 83, referring to 83 sicknesses. The Gemara says that any Jew who performs the mitzvah of pas shachris in the morning, who makes sure to eat bread and water in the morning every single day, that serves as a protection from these 83 sicknesses. And this is brought in Shulchan Aruch, that a religious Jew cannot skip breakfast. There's no such thing as doing away with pas shachris. This is an integral part of a person's avodas Hashem, to make sure to eat breakfast, to have specifically bread and water. Bread, water doesn't have to be exactly water, it could be another liquid, juice, coffee, something like that. But specifically bread and water. Why? Because that's a segula for v'hasiroisi machla mikirbecha. So we see it does exist such a power, there does exist such a power of the bread and water being able to take the refuah. Now note, those who are familiar with Shulchan Aruch, this halach of pas shachris, what simon in Shulchan Aruch does it follow? Hilchas tefillah. Right after the Shulchan Aruch finishes talking about the laws of tefillah, what's the next step after you finish davening? Before you go to the Beis Medrash, there's an intermediate stop. Sit down and eat pas shachris. You just finished davening. You just finished your on your low level, your shleimus hatfilah, the most important tefillah of the day, which is shachris and tefillin and talis and everything. Now sit down and eat bread and water, and let your tefillah do its thing. Let it draw any medicinal power that you might need for that day, let it draw it into your bread and water, and then vasiroisi machla mikirbecha. That will remove any kind of illness from you.
How many of 83 from pas?
The word machla. Vasiroisi machla mikirbecha. The pasuk says, I'll bless your bread and water, and I'll remove illness from you. Why does it say illness? There are multiple illnesses. The Gemara says, yes. The word machla tells you exactly the number of illnesses that there are. The word machla is bigamatria 83.
Why does it say, why does it say lending? It should say
lending
is
trying
to give you something back.
You're right. Because, that's in Likutei Halachos, if you recall the Shabbos Shir, where we spoke about this Torah, that's where we answered that question. Because what happens? Note, we're completing a circle here. We say that where does the grass draw its shefa from? Where did the Malachim draw their shefa? They draw from the Dvar Hashem. So this Dvar Hashem is coming down, right? And on the way down, it's feeding this one, who's feeding this one, way, way down. Then what happens? It gets lost. What happens? This Dvar Hashem comes back up. How? Tefillah. A person who's speaking, what is he actually doing? He's recycling this Dvar Hashem. The same Dvar Hashem that's being used to give chiyus to all, every single part of the creation, that's what's being sent up. The blades of grass daven to Hashem. Remember we said Hashem's, Rabbi Ezal says it's good to daven among the grasses because they, how do they daven? Where do they draw their words of tefillah? This is your answer. What gave them their original chiyus? The Dvar Hashem. Their tefillah is the recycling, the shipping back of this Dvar Hashem. That's what completes this circle from Hashem to the world. That's what happens when a yid davens. Where do you draw the, where do you draw your clothes from? Your suit, your jacket, your bread, your water. Where does chiyus of the whole world come from? The pasuk b'divar Hashem shamayim ma'asu beruach piv kol tzavon. The whole bria was done originally and is maintained via the divar Hashem, right? How does the bria return? How does it complete the chain? Hashem is giving to us. What do we give to Hashem? Our tefillah. That's this one, Mekablin Ben Ben Kaviyachon. That's the zivug between Hashem and Bnei Israel. We have Rabbeinu Zal brings in Torah tests on the Kutem Ran, Sailu L'Roicheid Boharovois, that a person who davens actually completes a zivug Kaviyachon, L'Reach Nichoyach Ishei L'Hashem. Hashem becomes the female. When a Jew davens, Hashem becomes the female. Why? Well, until you daven, you're the one who's receiving. Hashem is the Mashpia, you're the Mekabel, right? When a Jew davens to Hashem, the Jew becomes the Mashpia and Hashem the Mekabel. You're giving, you're returning to Hashem this Dvar Hashem. You understand? This Zera, in a sense, that was being used to plant, to give Chiyus to everything in the world, you're shipping it back to Hashem through your tefillah.
Who said that the Ramal always describes this?
Right. That was a slight misquote of the Midrash. That was when I quoted that Hashir in different times, I was, you know, slightly confusing this Midrash. What the Midrash says clearly is that the wording of the Midrash is that a Koychav and Mazel are the ones that strike the grace, but where does the Koychav and Mazel draw its power from? From the Malach. So it's almost as though the Malach
is.
I don't know. But it's here. Possible. Could be, that's where I got, you know, I don't know. But here, Rabbeinu Zal quotes this Midrash where you see the exact wording that's used here. I don't know.
If you look to Tehillim, you could, especially these 10, be able to channel that kind of power, then why is it that you see Tzadikim are sick? I mean, would you say that they're deliberately not healing themselves, so they have the power to do so? If that's the case, it says, Shomen Afshecha Mo'od, then they have to do whatever they can to heal themselves.
True.
In addition to that, you see that, when Rabbi Hizal, he became ill, he went to doctors.
Right.
So
the answer is there's a lot to discuss about that. There's a lot to talk about that, about the fact that Rabbi Hizal said that when he went to doctors, he was the one who found out that they're full of baloney. He had to go to them to find out, to be able to tell his students that 99% of them are murderers. Malach, they're agents of the Malach HaMovis. Literally, that's what we call them. That's number one. Plus, we're going to have much, much more discussion about that, about the topic of his going to doctors. Number one, what you said first about Tzadikim, why do we see that they're sick? It's a pasuk. There's a pasuk. We're going to have this again elaborated on in a later term. Rabbeinu Zal quotes the pasuk of the Hu Mechaleo Mipshainu. The Gemara says that why do Tzadikim suffer? Why are they sick? Our sins. The Gemara says, Ein Yisurin B'lo Yovain, that whenever a person suffers in life, it's generally due to a sin. Then why do we find that the ones who seem to be suffering the most of it, Tzadikim? The answer is, who do they suffer for? They suffer on our behalf. You understand? That's one of the functions of a Tzadik, to accept suffering upon himself for the sake of Mesrur. He definitely tries to get rid of it. He davens and everything, but it's a cycle. The more avarice we do, the more it affects the Tzadikim, and making them sick, or chas v'shalom, at times causing their passing. As we see cases in Jewish history, the Torah says that because the generation was bad, this mitzvah, that's considered the worst curse. And the Teichacha says that if the Jews will really be bad, what will happen? The status of Talmidei Chachamim, that's the final blow, you understand? That's like the Tachana Sofit, the last stop. Because up to the last stop, no matter what kind of sins you do, as long as you have these Tzadikim around to accept upon themselves suffering on behalf of Bnei Israel, there's some hope. The minute the Tzadikim Chas V'Shalom, the minute the Yidden gets so bad Chas V'Shalom that it causes the Tzadikim to pass away, that's when it gets very rough, Chas V'Shalom. And that's Nebuch, the status in this world. The Gemara says that as we get closer to the coming of Moshiach, we're going to see these lanterns extinguished one by one, and big tzaddikim, until we get to a point where we have Dor Yoslin, we have a generation that's like orphans. All the big tzaddikim slowly but surely are being taken away. And that's the final darkness before the light, before the coming of Moshiach.
Why did Rabbi Zal say also that in Pilate's coming, would that also be announced in the year of the
late? Excuse me?
Wouldn't Pilate's coming also be announced in the year
of the late? All of these three things are a bechin of kavod. Mamoin, Rebbe Mechabed Ashirin, right? Achila, Rabbi Nassal brings that term to the Barnett, that Achila is a bechin of kavod. Put kibud on the table. Remember, we spoke about that in the beginning. Meshagel, kavod. Isha is kavod. Beis is wishlam. Ve'echoloi kolaymer kavod. Isha is the dibur, the nine-tenths of dibur, which is kavod, right? And the Rabbi Nassal says the women are the ones who have the greatest hakpod on kavod. That achila is a bechin of kavod. Put kibud on the table. Remember, we spoke about that in the beginning. Meshagel kavod. Isha is kavod. Beis is wishlam. Ve'echoloi kolaymer kavod. Isha is the dibur, the nine-tenths of dibur, which is kavod, right? And the Rabbi Nassal says the women are the ones who have the greatest hakpod on kavod.